So I guess we are officially beginning. Okay, ladies, last week, if you remember, we were discussing the sugya on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about a sukkah, agabe sukkah, and there are three positions, three shitos about how much higher must the upper sukkah be vis-a-vis the lower sukkah. One shita was that it's a din in one tefach, like we see by Tuma. The other shita is that's a din in four tefachim, because makam chashav and hilchos Shabbos and elsewhere is always four tefachim. And then the third position is that it is the shita of Shmuel, that it's a din of ten tefachim tall, keach sheira kach psua, just like ten tefachim is the minimum height to make a sukkah kasher, is also minimum. It is also the minimum height necessary to make the sukkah underneath it non-kasher. That is what we saw in the Gemara last time. Then the Gemara raises the issue of, in the Mishnah, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma about if the lower sukkah cannot support the karim uksasos of the upper sukkah, can't support. We mentioned that according to Rashi, that means like the bedding of the upper sukkah. According to the Rush, it means the table to eat on the upper sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda says that in that case, the upper sukkah does not invalidate the lower sukkah. The Gemara first thinks that this is a raya against Shmuel. So the Gemara says, no, maybe the situation is that the upper sukkah can support, or the lower sukkah can support the karmuksasas of the upper sukkah, albeit ayde hadchak, with difficulty, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the upper sukkah does not invalidate the lower sukkah if it can only be supported ayde hadchak. According to the Chachamim, the upper sukkah will invalidate the lower sukkah in that situation. This is what we spoke about last time. Then, last time we turned to the Rush in Simin Yudalid, and by popular request, we are going to go through the Rush now, and then we'll move on. Popular request means that Rachel Gutman said, can we please go through the Rush? So, you are, I guess, very popular. So, so the Rush first quoted a shita of the Rif, that we see from this Gemara, the fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the upper sukkah, if it cannot hold karmuksasos easily, it can only be held ayidei hadchak, that does not invalidate the lower sukkah. That's because Rabbi Yehuda feels that a sukkah is a diras keva. Rabbi Yehuda tells us on Daf Beis that the sukkah can be above 20 amos. That means according to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah is diras keva. If it's diras keva, so it has to be able to support the karmuksasos easily. But according to the Chachamim, that a sukkah is not diras keva, so then even if it's supported only ayidei hadchak, that is good enough. That is what we noted last time, the name of the Rush, which means that way back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, when we had three shitos about why a sukkah over 20 amos is non-kasher, either because Rabba says, that you have to know that you're sitting in the sukkah, Reb Zera says that the shade has to come from the schach, not from the walls, and Rava says it's because of diras keva, the Gemara is paskening, says the Rif, we paskin la halacha, that it's based on diras keva, and consequently, we are assuming that the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda says that a sukkah has to be diras keva, and therefore, if the upper sukkah cannot easily hold the karmuksasal, so it's not considered a sukkah, and it will not invalidate the lower sukkah. That is what we saw last time. That's all Aleph. We haven't even gotten to Os Beis. Now, just one brief point, which I don't remember if we mentioned last time or not, but it does come up also in the Gemara earlier in the Avav. The impression you get from this Gemara, as understood by the Rif, is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a sukkah has to be diras keva. If a sukkah would be diras arai, it's no good. This is not the standard approach in Yiddishkeit. The standard approach in Judaism is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying a sukkah can even be diras keva. But what I see from this Gemara, as understood by the Rif, is that if the sukkah cannot easily hold karmuksasos, if the pillows, blankets, whatever, can only be supported, actually the Mishnah Brura quotes that ayudei hadachak means that like it shakes, right? You put the futon bed there and like it's going to hold on to it, but it's like, oh, rickety. That's how ayudei hadachak is. So if it's only holding ayudei hadachak, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not considered a sukkah. Meaning this Gemara and Daf Yud, as understood by the Rif, et cetera, is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the sukkah has to be diras keva. It's not just that if a sukkah is diras keva, it's also kosher, but a sukkah has to be diras keva in order to be kosher. That's an interesting idea that emerges from this Gemara. The same type of idea emerges from a Gemara on Daf. Daf of them in base, but again, it's not the simple reading. Okay, Chevra, good enough? Should we read the Rush together? Or should we summarize the Rush? Zoe, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'll go with Rachel being the popular opinion. We should read the Rush.
Rachel, what are your thoughts?
Well, we got up to a certain point, and then there's just a lot more words. So I wonder what those words are saying.
Okay, so that sounds like an endorsement of reading. Let's read the Rush. We'll try to do it quickly because I want to get to the next Mishnah. Did anyone prepare the next Mishnah in the Gemara afterwards a little bit? Not so much. The Olam just spent the time on the Rush. Okay, so let's go through the Rush, certainly, and let's begin. Simon Tesvav in the Rush. By the way, who was the Rush? When and where did he live?
Well, it says Rabbeinu Asher on top, so.
Okay, his name is Rabbeinu Asher. Okay, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel. The Rush is the father of the Torah. The Rush is a very important figure in the history of Halacha, because the Rush moved from Germany to Spain. Now, that is really important because when the Rush moved from Germany to Spain, he carried a book with him called Tosfos. And he introduced the Bali HaTosfos to Spanish Jewry. The Rush moved to Barcelona in Spain. At the time when the Rush moves to Barcelona, so the Rav in Barcelona is the Rashba. The history books say that the Rush spent 2 weeks with the Rashba locked up in a house together, learning Torah. And those 2 weeks are when we have the integration of the Torah of Ashkenaz with the Torah of Sfarad. I would have loved to be there. Like how did this happen? Like, you realize that like the Ritvo, all the subsequent Rishonim from Sfarad are quoting Tosfos all the time. That happened because the Rush came over to Spain. It's also interesting, just in terms of a history of Halacha perspective, very often you see Spanish Rishonim and they're quoting Tosfos, and we open up our Tosfos and you don't see it. Well, most often, if you don't see it in our Tosfos and the Spanish Rishonim quote it, it's found in the Tosfos HaRush. There are different versions of the Tosfos. When the Rush came over to Spain, he carried a book called Tosfos HaRush with him. No? That's what it is. So it's very likely that the Tosfos that the Spanish Rishonim are quoting is the Tosfos HaRush. This is, by the way, that to some extent that marked the end of French-German Jewry around that time. And now, etc. Okay, weiter. Let's now learn the Rush. Yes.
Before we go back here, pre-COVID era, I think they say like BC, whatever. I went to Barcelona in January, and there's a street in the Jewish, where the Jewish quarter is very much intact, and it's Rabbi Shlomo Nedaret, because he was a major figure. Very cool.
Right. That's the Rashba was in Barcelona. Oh, so I never picked up on BC as before COVID. That's like a big Kiddush.
I think I saw that in Mishpacha, so I don't know if it's like rampant throughout the world.
But the Rashba, apparently you could see in the street in Barcelona how far the matzah bakery was from his house or something.
That's cool.
I saw an article about this in terms of the cheshbon of 18 minutes because they had... I don't know if any of this is true. Let's learn the Rush together, ladies. Mishnah, the Rush Simon Tesvav. Sukkah Gabi Sukkah, the top Sukkah is Kosher, Bam Sukkah is Pasar. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im Indirim Ba Oyona Pachachtonik, Sheira, fine. Ki Asarav Dimi Amar. It's interesting, by the way, that the Rush is quoting the Gemara out of order. And he does this for a pedagogical purpose. Right, the Rush first quotes the end of the Gemara. That ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said Ami b'Marova, that in Eretz Yisrael they say imein atachton yachol kabel karmuk sasos sheoyona hatachtonik sheira. In Eretz Yisrael they say that if the lower sukkah cannot support the pillows of the upper sukkah, so then the lower sukkah is kosher. But af rabbanon modu b'ha. The command of Lasadamya, and even the Rabbanon would agree in this situation that it's like it doesn't exist. In other words, if the upper sukkah cannot hold pillows, so for sure the upper sukkah does not pass on the lower sukkah. The machlokis is when it's yecholol kabel ayde hadchak, when the upper sukkah can support the pillows with difficulty. Rabbanan Savri came in the Yecholim Leishem al Tachtona Yidei Hadachak V'lecho Be'el Yonah. Since the upper guys can sit on the lower sukkah and eat there, it's considered Mikri Ha'el Yonah Sukkah U'mifsal Tachtona. The upper one is called a sukkah and invalidates the lower one. Mishum Sukkah Tachas HaSukkah. Rabbi Yehuda Savar came in Shein Yechol Le'echo Be'el Yonah Al Yidei Hadachak Lo Mikri Sukkah Lipasa Tachtona. Rabbi Yehuda says that since the upper sukkah can only be used ayidei hadachak, it does not invalidate the lower sukkah. Right? So we noted already that the Rush uses the term ve'le'echol ba'on yona. Right? We spoke about the fact that according to the Rush, it seems like the main mitzvah of sukkah is really the eating as opposed to the sweeping. This is like last week's topic. Now, the Rush quotes, V'Reb Yehuda l'tamei d'be'inan diras keva, Rabbanon nami l'tamayu. Says the Rush, Reb Yehuda's l'tamei is l'shitaso, there has to be a diras keva. Rabbanon nami l'tamayu, the Rabbanon also are l'shitasam. V'zel mashu kasef ha-Rav al-Fasi l'mayla, this is what the Rif quoted at the beginning, that sugyan d'shmaitza, suga tachsa suga mukach kerava. In other words, says the Rush, that the Rif at the beginning of the Masechta, the Rif said Sugya Deshmeitza. Okay, Sugya Deshmeitza means the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rif's job is to make the Gemara a halachic text, not just a learning text. And in order to make the Gemara halachic text, what the Rif does is he takes out all of the extraneous non-halachic materials. But the Rif feels that he has to paskin. So how do I paskin on Daf Beis? How do I paskin the question as to why is it that a sukkah over 20 amos is no good? So the Rif says I paskin like Rava, like we mentioned before. And the reason why the Rif paskins like Rava is because Sugya d'Shmeitza. I have a series of shiurim online called Halachic Men. If you want, you can listen to my shiur about the Rif. And in my shiur about the Rif, I speak about the Rif's derech in learning is called Sugya d'Shmeitza. Meaning the Rif feels that we paskin la halacha based on the simple reading of Gemaras. So, since the simple reading of our Gemara on Daf Yud is based on Diras Keva, that is a reason to paskin like Rava as opposed to paskining like Rabba. Right? One could have argued that we should paskin like Rabba, because Rabba is the Rebbe. Rava's the Talmud. Maybe we should not paskin like Rava, but says the Rif, we paskin like Rava because this is Sugya Dishmaitza. The Baal HaItor paskin like Rabba, but as a matter of, right, if you look in the Rush in Simon Aleph, the Rush quotes that there's some who paskin like Rabba, as he quotes later on to the Baal HaItor, because B'chol Mili K'rav Avad, V'anam Mistavronon, that we paskin like Rava. Right? In other words, that there are some who paskin like Rabba because the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that we paskin like that Rabba goes like Rav, and we paskin like Rav throughout Shas. That's basically what the Rif means with this other Shita. But basically, what the Rif is getting at is that as a matter of halacha, we paskin like Rava, that the reason why Sukkah over 20 amos is no good is because it's a diras keva, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda, who told us on Daf Beis that a Sukkah could even be 40 or 50 amos, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Sukkah can be diras keva, and all is grand, sugya d'shmeitza, that's the Rif's approach to halacha, we paskin like Rava. Good? Now, then the Rush goes backwards in the Gemara, and he goes back to the piece of Gemara earlier about how much space can you have between the two different sukkos. The Kama Yehebin
Sukkah. Hold on, I have a question before we do that. Can we clarify the space between the two sukkahs? Like,
yeah.
There's the lower sukkah, schach, and then the space.
No.
I think
the schach of the lower sukkah is. Well, one second. The schach of the lower sukkah is the floor for the upper sukkah. But how large is that upper sukkah to invalidate the lower sukkah?
It's not the thick. And so we were thinking either it's somehow a space between the bottom sukkah schach and then the sukkah, which makes no sense, or it was the thickness of the schach.
Okay, so let me draw the picture the way I understand it. This is my lower sukkah, correct? Then I have an upper sukkah on top of it. How tall is that upper sukkah? Some say it's 1, right? Some say it is 4, and some say it's 10. Meaning, how tall is this wall? Right? This wall and consequently the schach on top of it. Right? Here we could go like this. This would be 1. This would be 4. That would be 10. See, this is amazing artwork. But that's the question in the Gemara. Is that the way you're understanding it? We're not talking about the thickness of the walls. We're talking about the height of the upper sukkah. Does this...
Is now this what, things yeah. make sense. More.
That makes more sense. Good. Okay. So let's stop the screen sharing. So the Kitzur Hamasa, the Gemara basically asks how Kama Yehebein Sukkah Sukkah, how much space should there be between the two sukkos to invalidate the bottom one? Zup the Gemara. Rav Huna says Tefach. Shekei Motinu Ba'ohel Hatuma Tefach. Right, Rav Huna says 1 tefach, because 1 tefach is the measurement for tumah. Right, we spoke about this last time, that if you have less than a tefach, the tumah becomes squashed tumah, and squashed tumah jumps all the way up, it's bokeya va'ola ad l'rakia. Rav Chista and Rabba bar Rav Huna, da'amri tarbayu, dalet tefachim. Right, they say it's 4 tefach, shalom matinu makum chashir pachos me'arba'a. We never see in Shas a significant area less than 4 tefachim, right? As a matter of halacha, there is something called a Rishus HaYachid on Shabbos, and then there's something called a Makom Ptur. To be a Rishus HaYachid, it has to be four tfachim by four tfachim. Right? Makom Chashuv, a significant area, is four tfachim. The Balei HaTosfos comment that four tfachim is not only Makom Chashuv in terms of length and width, but even height of four tfachim matters, because as a matter of halacha, sometimes there are dinim of a door. The minimum height for a door is four tfachim. So four tfachim is considered chashuv, and Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna say it has to be four tfachim. Shmuel says asara, kehechshera kach psula. Shmuel says 10 tfachim, because just like a sukkah becomes mahechshera basara psula basara, just like a sukkah becomes kosher with 10, it also invalidates the lower sukkah when it is 10. So this is just a citation of the Gemara. Kasa baha itur. Mistavra da halacha ki Rav Chista v'rabba barav huna dirabim ninhu. Right? The baha itur says that why should I pass on like the middle shita of 4, not 1, not 10? He says, "Dirabim ninhu." Right. In other words, you have Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna. They are two people. Two is more than one. Right. So therefore, we paskin like those two authorities as opposed to the others. Va'od, moreover, mi de iflagi Rav Nachman v'Rabba Bar Rav Huna b'noyei sukkah hamuflag mimenu dalet. Rav Nachman machshir v'Rav Chista v'Rabba Bar Rav Huna poslim. That's a Gemara on Yud Amid Beis. Right? The Gemara on Yud Amid Beis says, what happens if noye sukkah? That's what we call sukkah decorations. So if they protrude more than 4 tfachim. So Rav Nachman says it's going to be kosher. But Rav Chiya and Rabba Bar Rav Huna say it's pasul. Mashma. That implies the lo machshir Rav Nachman b'noyi sukkah. They came to lo noya b'nu hasam lo batli astach mumala mehen. Right, what's that machlokes? That machlokes is if sukkah decorations hang down 4 tfachim or more, do they passel the sukkah? Rav Nachman says it doesn't passel. Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rav Chiya says it does passel. Explains the Rush. The only reason why Rav Nachman says it's kosher is because it's a sukkah decoration. By definition, a decoration is butal to the thing it decorates. Right? That's the lashon of the keva delanoya avinu hasam lo batli aschach mamayla. It's there to beautify the schach. So it can't invalidate the schach. Abo besukkah, gabi sukkah, sover Rav Nachman de baflogas dalid mifsala ki Rav Chista v'rabba bar Rav Huna. Meaning, the only reason why Rav Nachman is machshir a situation when the sukkah decorations protrude for tfachim is because it's a decoration. And decorations are batal to the schach. But if it would not be a decoration, if it would be a sukkah, agave sukkah, so then 4 tfachim would invalidate. So I see, as a matter of halacha, that 4 tfachim is the definition of separate space. And therefore, 4 tfachim will be a sukkah, agave sukkah, and that would be pasul.
A decoration would be considered another sukkah. Is that
so? The Rush is quoting the Baal HaItur, who is equating these two dinim. Just like decorations of 4 tfachim pasul a sukkah, right? So also it is called a sukkah agabe sukkah if it is 4 tfachim. 4 is the magic number. Right, that's what the Rush is quoting from the Baha Itar. Even though Rav Nachman disagrees there on Daf Yud Amid Beis, and Rav Nachman says that sukkah decorations, if they protrude more than 4, it's not a problem. That's only because it's a decoration. But if it's not a decoration, 4 is the magic number. And therefore, I'm sorry.
Could a decoration ever be hashiv then? If it's for tefachim or more, does that give it some kind of importance that it wouldn't have otherwise?
Again, so we're going to have to talk about that in Yirtzeh Hashem. Maybe we'll get there next week. I don't know. As a matter of halacha, a decoration that protrudes more than 4 tefachim is a problem. Right? So we don't say that, it's always enhancing the schach, it's bottled to the schach. There is some cutoff by which it's no longer enhancing the schach, and it becomes a problem, right? Or even though it's enhancing the schach, nonetheless it's a problem. So basically, the Baal HaItor has 2 reasons to paskin like Rav Chistan, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, to pass like the Shira of 4 Tfachim. Reason number 1 is 2 against 1. Is there a Rabbim? Reason number 2 is that the Gemara on Yud Amid Beis with respect to decorations of a sukkah, so the Gemara sounds like 4 is the magic number. Therefore, sukkah agabe sukkah, right? 1 second. Aval b'sukkah gavi sukkah sar Rav Nachman aflagas dala mifsala ki Rav Chista v'Rabba bar Rav Huna. Hilkach, therefore, haditnan sukkah gavi sukkah yonak sher v'atachton apsula. This that we say, if I have 1 sukkah on top of another, the top sukkah is kosher, the lower sukkah is pasul. Aval pi she'ena re'uya ledira, she'en ba'asara psula, v'lesa ledishmuel. Says the Baha Itor. Therefore, when 1 sukkah on top of another sukkah, the upper sukkah invalidates the lower sukkah, that refers to a case when the upper sukkah is not 10 tefachim tall. The upper sukkah can be only 4 tefachim tall, and it's going to invalidate the lower sukkah. Umihu, nonetheless, be'inan shetehe re'uya lekabel karam uksasun she'ol yona ayudei hadachak. So this is a wild idea. Ready? The Baha Itar says that if the upper sukkah is not 10 tefachim tall, it can still invalidate the lower sukkah, providing that the upper sukkah can hold pillows, blankets, tables, etc. Because if it can't hold pillow, blanket, table, it is called a diras rucha. It is called a squashed dwelling place. And squashed dwelling is not dwelling. Now, what's the problem? The Rush himself is going to ask Akasha on this later on. He says, 1 second. If the sukkah is less than 10 fachim tall, by definition, it's squashed. Right? What are you adding on? You say, it can be a sukkah if it's less than 10 tefachim to invalidate the lower one, but it has to have at least, has to be able to hold blankets and pillows, whatever it is. Because if it can't hold blankets and pillows, that's not dira. Hello, right? If it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not dira by definition. You can't live in something, right? Maybe if you're a Lego man, you could live in a Lego woman, right? You could live in less than 10 tefachim. But it's not livable space. So what difference does it make that it can hold pillows and blankets? It's very hard to understand how exactly the Baal HaItur learns. Because the kasha that the Rush asks on this later on is such a powerful kasha, right? It's really hard to understand. But basically what the Rush is quoting is that the Baha Itur and the Rav Yah and Bechem Pasak HaRav Aviyah, that's the Rav Yah, and the Raz Halevi is the Baha Mo'ar, they all paskin that sukkah al gabe sukkah, four tefachim is the measurement of sukkah agave sukkah, but it has to be able to support pillows and blankets, etc. And it's mamish hard to understand. It's really hard to understand exactly what the Baha Idor and the Rafya and the Bahamo'ar mean. It's very hard to understand how you can okay, let's leave it for now because I don't have a good yishuv. I don't have a good defense for this shita. Okay, ladies, should we go weiter? Any questions, comments so far? Ms. Gutman, how are you?
Doing good. So then if it's 10, so before then when we were reading the pillows and blankets scenario, we were assuming that it's a sukkah that has 10 fucking the thing on top.
Right.
Okay.
But another, and that would make sense because 10 tefachim, actually, when you, I forgot which one of you sent the picture of the sukkah. It could be that you could sleep in a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim if you kind of really dig down. But certainly you can't eat in a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim, no? Maybe that's the issue in the
They used to eat reclining,
but even if I eat reclining, you know, if four tefachim is a total of 12 inches, Tanya, okay? That is really, really, really small. It might even be hard to lie down in there, but at least that possibly I could hear. Again, so maybe though, maybe that's the issue. Maybe Rashi, who says it's about sleeping, right, would be closer to the Baal HaItur, who is saying that it has to be able to hold pillows, even though it's not 10 tefachim, but still you have to be able to hold pillows. Because maybe Baal HaItur is saying that the pillows are for sleeping, but the Rashi who says that the pillows, etc., the karmuk sasa, are for eating, so that's why he holds it's got to be a minimum of 10 tefachim, like we'll see in 5 minutes. Perhaps.
Couldn't Zoe? We also understand Rav Dimi's position to be that? Because Rav Dimi only talks about cushions and blankets. So that could be related more to sleeping.
Right. But as we pointed out, the way the Rush understood, the Dinam of Karmuksasis usually sounds like sleeping. But the Rush, right at our beginning of our Rush, like the third line in this Rush, he says that the situation is whether you could eat there. Right? The fact that it has to hold karamuksasos, the Rush understands to eat, which I assume means like to sit on the pillow and to like recline and to eat on it somehow. I don't know.
I guess, I mean, part of my question is what is Rav Yehuda defining as like having a tenant? Is that sleeping, eating, both?
So we assume that the minimum height for a sukkah is 10 tefachim, right? That's what we saw the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta Daf Daled, right? We have 10 tefachim is the minimum. The Pashtus is that a sukkah under 10 tefachim is nothing because you can't fit your body in there, right? Apparently the Baal HaItur is saying that a sukkah under 10 tefachim is something. It could still be a sukkah, right, to passel the lower one, providing you could sleep there. He is splitting between, again, the way we're trying to explain it now, he's splitting between the halacha of sukkah for sleeping and the halacha of sukkah for eating. As a matter of halacha, we assume that that's not true. No, the Mordechai quoted at the very beginning of the Masechta, if I have a sukkah that I could only sleep in and I can't eat in, it's not kosher. If I have a sukkah I could only eat in and I can't sleep in, it's not kosher. Has he right for everything? Perhaps the Baal HaItur is splitting between those. Again, this is just what's coming to my mind right now as a possible defense for the Baal HaItur. I haven't thought this through carefully, this is just what I thought about like a minute and a half ago when we started to talk about this. Good? Ms. Farber, you're awfully quiet tonight.
Sorry, I didn't really prepare as much as I have liked to. So, yeah.
Okay. Listen. Baruch Hashem. Let's learn. Okay, Weiter. Says the Rush. Remember, there are two proofs or two reasons to Paskin like the position of Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rav Chista. One reason is that they are Rabbim. It's two against one. And the other reason to Paskin like their Shita is because the Gemara later on, with respect to Sukkah decorations, uses four tefachim as the cutoff point for Sukkah decorations. That seems to show that four is a magic number. Says the Rush, the eino nerali klal raya mehachto kamon. Right? There is zero proof from the Gemara later on. Devada yesh ledaktik mimenu dischach posel shetach aschach kosher posel eschach kosher baflagas dalet. Hainu dumya denoyi sukkah shem sulin lesakech. V'lo pasi rab nachma flagas arba mishum delenoyi asa'an ubatlan legabe aschach. Meaning, says the Rush, the Gemara later on is talking about sukkah decorations. The item that I hang up as a sukkah decoration is an item which would be posel eschach ordinarily. Right? We're going to see the Gemara at the bottom of Yoram and Aleph says that they hang up bottles of wine as a sukkah decoration. You can't make eschach out of a bottle of wine. Right? It's not kosher for eschach. So says the Rush, from the Gemara later on, I see that four tefachim is a cutoff with respect to pasul schach. And according to Rav Nachman, even though it's pasul schach and it's more than four tefachim, nonetheless, since it's lenoy, since it beautifies the schach, it does not invalidate anything. Aval schach pasul de alma pasul ha'oyam baflagas arba. Kama, aval sukkah shetachas hasukkah lifsos hatachtona mishum schach ha'elyon lo domi lahahi klal. Right, says the Rush, that our sugya is not at all comparable to the Gemara of sukkah decorations. You see, sukkah decorations are pasul eschach. So when it comes to pasul schach, I have a magic cutoff of four. But when it comes to a sukkah under a sukkah, I have no evidence from that Gemara on Yudam and Beis that four tefachim is the magic cutoff. The two sugyas are completely different, one from the other. There is, right, the sugya of sukkah decorations means how far away can pasul schach be from kosher schach to create a problem? Sukkah al gabe sukkah. I have kosher schach on top. I have kosher schach on bottom. The question is, do the two schachs integrate or not integrate? Is it one sukkah, is it two sukkahs? If it's two sukkahs, it invalidates. But I'm talking about kosher schach. For kosher schach, four tefachim is not a magic number. That's what the Rush is saying. You seem confused, Rachel.
No, because when you were saying kosher schach with kosher schach, I was just reminded of the Elon, which is not kosher schach with kosher schach. And I was just thinking of no, but there was no distance that we said.
Right, so that's a question that we haven't gotten into. Yeah, I probably mentioned something in passing. There's a very long Maharsha over here who discusses why is it that the Gemara has these positions, one tefach, four tefachim, ten tefachim, with respect to one sukkah under another sukkah, but yet with respect to a sukkah under a tree, we never see measurements given. Right? Maybe, right? All the Gemara says that when the tree is bent down and it really enmeshes with the other schach, then it could be batal. But no one says that, oh, it's not going to be a problem if it's only one tefach above. Why don't I assume that one tefach, four tefachim, ten tefachim, all of these measurements are relevant for the sukkah under the tree as well? That is a really big issue. There is a discussion, a lengthy discussion in the Maharsha. I'm just sending you to that Marei Makom. I don't think we'll go into it now. Okay? Now, so now let's just make one minor point in the Rush. The Rush ignores one of the Baha Iter's proofs. The Baha Iter had two proofs that I pass in like Rabba, and I pass like Reb Chiya and Rabba Bar Rav Huna against everybody else. Proof one was Rabim against Yochid. Proof two is that Gemara about the sukkah decorations. The Rush says that the Gemara about sukkah decorations is immaterial. But what about the other proof? That this is two guys, that's one guy. Apparently, the Rush feels that two against one is not a halachically significant issue. There's no reason to pass in like two Amoraim versus one Amora. Again, I might have a rule in Mishnayis that when the Chachomim disagree, so I pass in like the Rabbim against the Yochid. But when it comes to how I pass in the Gemara, so that rule of two against one doesn't matter. Because the Rush, probably based on the same methodology that we said a few minutes ago from the Rif, the Rush feels that we paskin halacha in Gemara based on Sugya d'Shmaitza, based on what is the most logical approach, what's the approach that has the best evidence from the Gemara, not based on counting. One against two counting, it's amazing. The Rush just completely ignores that line. He says, yeah, the Ba'amar brought a proof. He brought two proofs, and I'll reject the Ba'amar, It's Ba'amar, Baha Iter, Ravya. They bring two proofs, and I reject the proof of sukkah decorations, but the other proof, I am not, to use a yeshivish term, I'm not goyris it, right? I'm not being misyachas to it. I'm not dealing with that proof ki huzeh. It is completely being ignored. Okay. Comes along the Rush. And then the Rush writes, V'nirali lifsok kishmuel disugya hashas kavosei. Right? Again, if you want to do halachic methodology, how do we train them go about paskin gashayla, says the Rush, a paskin like Shmuel, because the sugya of the Gemara goes like Shmuel. Dika Amar, that the Gemara says, Elash ain't a ru'yal dira hechadami, delogabar asar, Machal Tanakama Sarapish ain't a ru'yal dira psula, Uparashua Mikanakama, Umishane Allah, Bimarava, my Indian Bell Yoda, Dika Amar Rabbi Huda, Upligalai Rabbonic Shana Tapunia Holocaust, Kamuksas, Shal Yoda, Beno Yonik for Yud, Baha, Modrabon Datona, the Tatonic Shera. Okay, I just did a whole mouthful and a half, but what was I reading? I was basically reading that the Rush is quoting the last three lines of our Gemara. The lines of our Gemara right before the Mishnah, where the Gemara says, well, what does it mean? Reb Yehuda says, if there is no de urin in the upper sukkah, so the lower sukkah is kosher. Well, what does no de urin mean? If it means no one lives there, why should that matter? Right? He just quotes exactly the Gemara, and that whole conversation in the Gemara is revolving around 10 Tvachim, which is the Shita of Shmuel. Therefore, comes along the Rush, and the Rush says, Sugya de Shmaitza, Sugya de Hashas, right? The Sugya in the Gemara is like Shmuel, because the Gemara is assuming Shmuel. And that's basically what the Rush says, right? I don't know if you're up to me because I just read a bunch of lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's like 7 lines before from the bottom of this first column of Rush. V'hainu ketami d'shmo kechsher kach psula d'ksho yonek sheru yi'ula d'ira oz shem sukkah ala lifsos ha'tachtona. If the upper sukkah is livable, it can invalidate the bottom psula. V'im lav ksheru. V'tayma d'mistaberhu v'hukhasa kavosei. You see that? 5 lines, 6 lines on the bottom. Says the Rush, it's logical. Shmuel is logical. It makes sense. And the halacha follows Shmuel. Now, I read this, again, like the Rush is saying 2 reasons to paskin like Shmuel. Reason 1 is the sugya de shmaitza, the simple reading of the Gemara is following Shmuel. Reason 2, says the Rush, is Shmuel makes sense. Right? When we read the Gemara last week, we spoke about whether the din is sukkah tachas hasukkah or sukkah tachas schach. Remember that? Shmuel is assuming it's a din of sukkah tachas sukkah. So it has to be 10 tefachim. Everyone else holds, no, it's sukkah tachas schach, 1 tefach, 4 tefachim, etc. It's not called a sukkah if it's less than 10 tefachim. I think what the Rush means when he says, taima de mistaberhu, is that that's logical. It's logical that the din is sukkah tachas hasukkah. Just makes more sense. The Gemara seems to flow that way. It makes more sense. Therefore, we paskin like Shmuel. So again, baha itar ravya, baha ma'ar paskin like middle position of 4 tefachim, because they have that Gemara about the sukkah decorations and the majority. The Rush ignores this idea of majority. And the Rush says there's no proof from the Gemara about sukkah decorations, because sukkah decorations are pasul schach. And therefore, the Rush says, I paskin like Shmuel. The Hashas, de parach l'Shmuel, mishum de matzi l'shnuye masnisen ali bay, aval aliba de sha'ar amoroi lo matzi l'shnuye masnisen. Again, this is a hard line in the Rush. I have to admit, the Karban Nisanel works hard in explaining it. But basically, the Rush is saying that the Gemara asks the kashas only according to Shmuel, not according to the other Amoraim, because Shmuel is defensible. The other Amoraim cannot be stooped into this position of Rabbi Yehuda being Mekabel Karmuksesos, etc. The other positions don't fit in at all, and therefore I paskin like Shmuel. V'hochi orchei dehashas d'lo makshi ela mai d'motzi l'shnuye. The derech of the Gemara is you only ask a kasha that you could answer. Meaning, the Rush is saying that the other positions of the Gemara, the 1 tefach or 4 tefach positions, just cannot be defended with respect to that case of Rabbi Yehuda, the upper sukkah not being able to hold karmuk sasos. It's just, it makes no sense according to those shitos. So we only discuss according to Shmuel because he's the only one that we could answer for. And since we're discussing according to Shmuel, therefore the halacha follows Shmuel. Then he goes on, 3 lines to the bottom. V'dochek gadohu mashon kasa bal ha'itor dim ene yachol lekabal karmuk sasos mikri Diras Rucha Vikasher Kisha Ena Gavoa Asara. Right? this is like a big change, by the way. The Karban Nisano changes that word upasal to the word vikasher. No? I actually gave another share about today, about abortion, where there's a Taisvis in Nida who says that abortion is mutter, and Rav Moshe Feinstein is tshuva and writes, yeah, it's a mistake in the Taisvis, he really means usser. Right? That's a pretty big mistake, no? Right? But the Karban Nisano is doing the same thing over here in this Rush. Right? The Rush says that this that the Baal HaItur said, that a sukkah under 10 tfachim, if it's a shorty, nonetheless, the sukkah has to be able to hold pillows, as we noted. But if it can't hold pillows, it is going to be a diras rucha. But it could still be kosher if it's not 10 tfachim tall. Says the Rush, that is not true. Hadavar yadua, de'ein lecha diras rucha mizu, d'shayif v'ayo agachone. Everybody knows that there's no greater diras rucha than this, that you have to bend down and go on your stomach. Right? In other words, this is the same kasha that we asked beforehand. The Gemara says that diras rucha is no good. Right? The Baal HaItur comments that diras rucha means it has to be able to hold pillows. Says the Rush, 1 second. If it's not 10 tfachim tall, by definition, that's diras rucha. By definition, that is a squashed dira. So therefore, the Rush comments that this line in the Baal HaItur is just, it's very dochik, it's very difficult. V'chei matzasi b'shem ha-ritz geyos she-pasak Shmuel. The Ritz geyos pasak Shmuel, they bring a raya from the Gemara later on, gabe kila. Right? The Gemara later on in Daf Yoram and Beis is going to speak about sleeping in a sukkah under a canopy. And the Gemara is going to say that it depends whether it's 10 tfachim tall or not 10 tfachim tall. Says the Ritz Geyos, that's a proof also that Shmuel is correct, that the issue of substance is 10 tfachim. And the Rush basically goes on and he keeps on talking about how 10 tfachim is what matters. Okay, I think I went a little too quickly. Let me just pause for a second, ask if any questions, comments. Rachel began tonight by saying that she reached a point in the Rush where it, like, it was all words and it was like hard to follow. And I hope I didn't do a disservice by just like reading it very quickly. Is it more clear now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Right. Basically, if I would summarize this Rush in two sentences, there is a machlokes how I paskin by sukkah gabi sukkah. Is it a din of one? Is it a din of four tfachim, or is it a din of 10 tfachim? That's a machlokes halacha lemaisa. The Rush says we follow Shmuel. The others say that I don't follow Shmuel. I follow the position of Reb Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that the measurement is four tefachim. In Shulchan Aruch, in Saman Tafresh Chafches, so the din is sukkah, tachas ha-sukkah, the top sukkah is kosher, bottom sukkah is pasul. It has to be that it's able to be mekabel ksarim karim uksasos, and yesh b'nehem asarat fachim. Abam ein b'nehem asarat fachim, right, etc., then it does not pass on the bottom sukkah. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rush, that 10 tfachim is the cutoff, that we follow Shmuel's shita, even though, right, there are many Rishonim. Baal HaItur, Rav Yah, Baal HaMa'ar, they paskin four tfachim, but that shita completely does not make it. It does not make it to the Shulchan Aruch. We paskin 10 tfachim. Okay, let's just try to conclude this Rush. Let's just try to finish the Rush. So the Rush writes that there's another raya like Shmuel from the Gemara about sleeping under the canopies. The Hashda, I'm in the third line from at the top of the second column in the Rush. The Hashda, Flashvuye Ohel Be'ina Nasara, Lemifsal Sukkah Lo Kosher came to Be'ina Nasara. If you need 10 tefachim to make it an Ohel, to make it a tent, that when I sleep in the canopy under the Sukkah, I'm like, I'm in my own tent, and therefore I'm not in the Sukkah and it's puzzle. So certainly it has to be 10 tefachim to be a Sukkah that will invalidate the lower one. The Yesh Dochen Rayazu. There are some who deflect this proof from the canopy. The Dilma Kila de lo Kviya by Asara. Ava Sukkah betoch Sukkah de Kviya afio bebatzir me Asara Mifsal. The canopy is not Kavua. The canopy is something that you just put up at night when you want to go to sleep. So maybe by a canopy, which is not kavua, that's when you need 10 tefachim. But sukkah tachas ha-sukkah, which is kavua, kavua over here doesn't really mean permanent. Kavua just means more significant, more substantial. So maybe it's going to be possible even less than 10 tefachim. Like the Gemara will say later on in the sugya of the canopies, and the Rush now gets involved in some of the details of the canopy sugya, which is a little complicated for us, but 2 weeks from now, hopefully we'll understand it. V'chein kasev haramban, b'med var marun shatachton ha-psula, k'shi kaya gavoa ha-elyon ha-asar ha-tfachim, b'gag ha-tachton ha-yichol l'kaba karmuk sasos ha-filu ha-yidei ha-tchak, right, the Ramban, or they change the text on the side to the Rambam. But basically, the Rishonim Paskin, the 10 tefachim, is what's necessary to invalidate the lower sukkah, not 4 tefachim. The Shita of 1 tefach does not even get any press time at all. Right? The Shita of 1 tefach, no one talks about Klal V'Ikar. Okay, ladies. So I think what we did tonight is actually different than what we've done in the Shirim Olzman. I think it's also productive. I think we got a few methodological insights in terms of how halacha works, right? We also, again, for me, the chiddush was perhaps that the Baha Itor is splitting between a sukkah for sleeping purposes, that it has to be able to mekabel karamuk sasos, even though it's not 10 tefachim tall, because there's a different halacha of a sukkah just as a sleeping place that will be able to invalidate the lower sukkah, even though you can't eat in the sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim. Okay, Chevra, any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
A question I probably should have asked at the beginning. About methodology, I was not sure who the Tana Kama was the whole time.
Who the Tana Kama? The Tana Kama is the Shita that argues on Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Daf Beis. Rabbi Yehuda says that a sukkah can be or should be Diras Kevan. The Tana Kama holds it has to be Diras Arai. Is that what you're referring to?
But I'm even saying the one in Yud. Tana Kama and Yud, that he also has a comment on Rabbi Yehuda, I think.
The Tana Kama is Rabbi Yehuda, yeah. I mean, which line in the Rush are you?
Oh, I'm talking about the Gemara itself.
Oh, in the Gemara itself. Oh, yeah, so the Tana Kama means the Tana Kama against Rabbi Yehuda, yeah. Right? In other words, let's go. In our Sugya.
Yeah.
Right? In our Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah on Tesson obeys. So, right, so the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im ein dirim ba elyona hatachtona kshera. Right, that's a chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Kama presumably disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. The last line in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda's statement, but you get the impression that, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says that, but that's not mainstream. That's right, and that's what it means by the Tana Kama.
Oh, okay. So Dirabanan, and then in the Rush, this is something I read, the Dirabanan and Tana Kama, are they basically synonymous?
Interchangeable. Okay, Ms. Sklar, how are you?
I'm good. So, shocker, I know that what I've been fixating on for most of this year is trying to envision a scenario that...
This is Cooper Union talking.
I haven't been successful, but I guess I figured that I'll throw out my general approach and see if you can have a light bulb, you or someone else has a light bulb moment. But I've been trying to figure out how we can end up with this upper sukkah that's not 10 tefachim tall, and it wouldn't be obvious that it's invalid or not ra'oy l'dira just because of the height criterion. And I was taking the approach of envisioning like a loft type scenario. So
here's my lower sukkah, right?
Yeah. So,
and here's my upper sukkah.
Yeah. So I was wondering if like the floor of the top sukkah slash the ceiling of the bottom sukkah was missing in a certain place to make it like the top sukkah is kind of a loft room to the bottom sukkah. And if we can use like different halachic manipulations of like walls moving inwards, like expanding, contracting, to somehow be able to make the top use part of like the height of the bottom or something to get it to fulfill a sukkah criterion, even though there's not actually a 10 tefachim height. I don't know. It may not be possible.
I'm getting a teeny bit confused.
I guess I'm wondering.
I like your expression of that the upper sukkah is a loft. In other words, the question is whether that upper thing, can it passel the bottom thing? If it's a separate sukkah, it passels. If it's just a loft of the upper sukkah, it does not passel. Now,
but should it though, if it has its own separate slough and part of it has a separate floor?
So
I guess this is then defining with your sukkah.
So I think sukkah. Not necessarily. I think the idea is that the halacha tells me that a sukkah under a sukkah is a problem. But if it's not a sukkah under a sukkah, if it's just a loft, or the way we were explaining it last time, that these two schachs like integrate, they come together, right? Well, I don't know what that is. But the two schachs basically integrate. So then it's a... then it's not considered a sukkah.
I guess I'm wondering, what if there's a gap in the floor of the top sukkah?
A gap in the floor
of or a gap in the ceiling of the bottom sukkah. Take your pick of terminology. I don't know. I wouldn't actually have an answer. I could just be taking
in other words, that might depend. If I have something like this, this is like a gap.
Yeah, right? That's what I mean. Yeah.
So it's like the old women's sections in the shtiblach, no?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know what I'm talking about. So again, that will depend on like all of the rules of gaps in schach and how large the gap is, etc. Mm-hmm. Those halachos we haven't covered yet. But just assuming that you have schach that completely covers that lower sukkah, so then the question is, does the upper sukkah invalidate the lower sukkah? Because we learned from the pasuk, basukos, 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 that it has to be one sukkah, not two sukkos, right, etc. That's the topic over here. I guess you're bothered by like practical issues. How do you get into the upper one? How do you get into the lower one? These types of things.
Well, it's more that I believe that there must be some sort of visual image that corresponds to this idea that supports the less than 10 tefachim. And I've just been trying to figure out what that could be.
So I'm here. Let's go like this.
Because like, as you said, when we were reading the Rosh, like, it doesn't make sense. But well, I feel like it must make sense. We just don't understand it.
I think it makes sense. This is my lower sukkah, right? Mm-hmm. My lower sukkah is a beautiful sukkah. It's 20 tefachim, right? It's a normal sukkah, right? A regular person sits in there. My upper sukkah is very low. Right? If it is four tefachim, according to the Baal HaItor, then it passels the lower one. If it's less than four, it doesn't passel. If it's four tefachim, it only invalidates if it could hold a pillow. Right? That's what the Baha'i verse says. So the question is, what exactly am I doing in this upper sukkah? So I thought what I'm doing is I have my bed and I'm sleeping. Am I, right? I could lie down in a very low space. And for sleeping purposes, it's okay. I mean, that's what I thought. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question.
No, you're not. But you're more just telling me that I don't need to rack my brain for a visual image because there's a different explanation. That's more what you're telling me.
I think so. I'm not.
Okay.
Okay, Chevra. Yasher koach. Thank you for coming to learn. Okay, have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Yeah, it's good to go through Rush. Okay.